Good morning. How are you all this morning? Excellent. I'm very well, thank you very much. 10 out of 10. Well done. Would you like to come and lead? It's lovely to see so many. It's a privilege to stand here to see how many people are worshiping. You don't get that same sense when you're actually sat there looking this way. It's just lovely to see so many people here this morning. And I want to start with a verse from Proverbs 3 that many of you, lots of you, some of you I'm sure will have heard before. This verse came to me last week whilst I was sat listening to Martin. He said something I was interested in, I can't quite remember what it was. But it's what I'm going to talk briefly about this morning. But it's from Proverbs 3 and it's verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he always will make your path straight. Read a slightly different way, trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what he wants and he will help you to go the right way. This morning, wherever you've been this week, whatever's happened, wherever your mind has taken you, wherever your world has taken you, we're going to start by singing I Will Praise in the Valley. And I really want you to think about praising the Lord for all the good things that have happened in your life this week. Praise the Lord for supporting you through all the things that perhaps haven't gone quite the way you had wanted to this week. But actually, we are here this morning to praise our Lord. So let's really start this morning with an upbeat praising in the valley, praising everywhere. Please join me if you're able to and stand. want to see you, Lord. I want to see you and meet with you today. I pray, Lord, that you come and meet with each of one of us. We may not see you in physical form, but we see you in our hearts, Lord. Come join us. Be with us. Amen. Please take a seat. I had very few notices. I just put one this morning, so I've made some up. I've now got two. First off, Quench. Ali is not here this morning. Oh, I nearly forgot her name. Don't tell her I said that. Ali's not here this morning, but there's a pop-up shop next week at 10 o'clock here on Saturday. Please take note of the take note flyers. There are some there that are all connected. There are some at the back. Please have a little look and take a little look. Martin, was that your notice? No, it wasn't.
It sort of was, but yeah. On the back of that, you know, we've been looking through so far, you know the truth and the truth will set you free. Come across this book called Jesus Christ, the Truth by J. John, who many of you will know, and Chris Wally, who many of you won't know. But it's a really good book. It's really good for helping us to look through what the Bible says as the truth about Jesus. It's a really good book to read just to help ourselves, but also perhaps to give away to somebody else. So I am recommending this. I've not finished reading it yet, but I'm recommending it on what I have read. At the front here, there is a little, or a big notebook, and it's got on there Jesus Christ, the Truth. If you'd like a copy, Ali says she can do them for £7. Ooh! No? Okay. Just sign your name on there, and we'll sort it out for you. Please do come and have a look at it afterwards. And there was something else which I've now completely forgotten.
Excellent. Well, I'll push you out of the way, and then when you know what you want to say,
I'll come back and push you out of the way. Okay,
that's absolutely fine. So I did say I made a few up of my own this morning. I was just out in the front foyer because it was being so nicely tidied up, and there were loads of little flyers there of little things that we do at our church that you might not know, or that you might not have picked up. A March, very tiny print, by the way, but March prayer card. I know it comes out sometimes by church suite, but there's some cards just out the front, a monthly prayer chart. There was also afternoon fellowship, if that's something that perhaps you might want to access. It's once a month, 2:15 on a Wednesday. Again, there's a little flyer with some dates out the front. Told you I was making them up. Ladies' breakfast and men's breakfast, they've also got little flyers, which I'm now throwing away out there. Again, just so that you've got all the dates should you need them. And then one that I really liked was, ever thought about church? You're invited. And it's a little card that just for you to take for someone else, to perhaps just whoever's on your mind, invite someone to church. And I'm really sorry, Martin, I've never seen those before, never noticed them. So they were really great. And then Alpha. I would just want to pause just for a minute. Alpha has started on Monday nights. We've got 10 guests that have turned up regularly to start with. So I just wanted to pause and just pray for Alpha specifically. And that if you think in your brains and if you can remember on a Monday evening, 6, 7 o'clock, just pray for all those guests that are coming for Alpha, that nothing puts them off. That someone, something, the devil, whatever you think, gets in their way that will stop them from turning up to church, turning up to this building to learn about the Lord. So I just wanted us just to pause for a minute and to just pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for every single individual that's in this church. I pray for everyone that's in this building, but also connected to our church, whether it be loosely, whether it be they can't come for medical reasons or whatever, but for each and every person connected to our church, Lord. I pray for those that are attending Alpha, and I pray that they know you, Lord, and that you move everything out of their way, all the distractions, all the things that could possibly stop them turning up, so that they can hear about you. I thank you for everyone involved in Alpha, from cooking to greeting to clearing to tables to all the administrative, something like that, Lord, and the practical on the day-to-day, just meeting with people. Just pray that you are in that, Lord, and that you are with each and every person there. Amen. Oh, sorry, everyone.
It's quite important. Okay. If you're observant, you will know that we haven't yet had a church members meeting this year, and it's March already. So well done for those of you who are important, observant, and important. Our next church members' meeting will be, thank you, Quinn, on the 29th of March at 6:30 p.m. And it is an important one because there's lots of stuff that we've got to share with you about things that are going on. Plus, Gareth, his time as an elder has actually come to an end. So we'd like to re-elect him. And we need you here to do that. So if you're a church member, please do come along on the 29th of March at 6:30. And there's all sorts of goodies in store. But we won't tell you more now because it's a secret. And you'll have to come and find out. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, so as I say, I kind of thought about what I was going to say this morning, last week when I was sat in church. Because one word, and we'll sing a song that we sang last week, which what brought him. But choices. We all have a lot of choices to make in this world, don't we? And I need some young people. I need young people that are kind of school age, so 6 or 7 years old above. Come and join me. Any more? Now, can you think quick? Yes? It's not a test, don't worry, there's no test in it. I just want to, can you think quick? Any more? Yeah, well done. Anyone else? Anyone out the back? I'm never quite sure who's out there. I'm guessing that's a no. So if you could just stand in front of me, but face me. Just go back a little bit. Well done, come in. I'm going to give you some choices. Now, if you agree with the choice that's that side, you'll see in a minute because it'll be on the board. You've got to go over there, but mind the saxophone. Get as close to the saxophone without touching it as quick as you can. If you agree with the choice on this side of the board, it'll be on there in a minute. There's a couple of easy ones to start with. You go there as quick as you can. Okay, got it? So it's just, and it doesn't matter, there's no right or wrong answers, no matter what your parents think. You'll understand, parents, you will understand. No matter what your parents think, there are no right and wrong answers. It's just what you think. It's a choice that you would make. I promise you, parents, that you won't be in trouble for whatever choice you make. Okay? Although they might think, no. So, do you understand?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Are we okay? Right, so you're going to see two pictures. One's going to come up this side. Should have the word or in the middle. Oh, man. I gave you a bit of a clue to the first one, didn't I? Did you see it? Did you? Okay. So, or, which is your choice? This side or this side? Okay, so as soon as you see the pictures, one will come up, then the other, you have to go that way if you think it's that side, or that way if you think it's that side. Got it? Okay, ready? First one. Chocolate. Oh, that's bizarre because it's the wrong way around on my screen there. I'm so going to get that wrong. Just you do it right. I'll do it wrong. You get all the plaudits. So chocolate, you're going to go that way. Or sweets, you're going to go that way. Which way? Go. You've got to go one way or the other. You can't stay in the middle. Okay. So chocolate, 2. Sweets, 4. Does that sound about right, parents? Adults? So you're, this audience participation, some word like that. If you think sweet, I want you to kind of point that way for me. Just in your ear, point that way. If you think chocolate, point that way. Oh, you're wrong, children. Quite clearly, adults have voted, it is chocolate. Right, back in the middle, back in the middle. Yeah, you're right. But they're definitely wrong.
Do you know why I chose that? Because I don't really like
chocolate.
It didn't identify which
chocolate. I didn't, you're right. Okay, this is going to go wrong quickly. Okay, are you ready for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay, now, the first one you had lots of time to think about. The second one, you've got to go like that. You've got 2 seconds, 1 second, 2 seconds, to decide and then go. Okay? So, are you going for Marmite, always controversial, or are you going for Marmite, or are you going for jam? 3, 2, 1, go. Adults, please. Oh, fair even split. I'm with Cliff. Okay, well done. Back you come. Okay, are you ready? Getting the hang of it? Come back in the middle. Okay, so your next one. Are you ready? Or are you going for scrambled eggs or boiled eggs? 3, 2, 1, go. Scrambled or boiled? You don't like any, then you can stay with me. You can stay with me. That's perfect. Adults? Boiled, scrambled. Now you've got to choose one. Ah, fairly even. Anyone, what's your name, sweetheart? What's your name? Anyone with Amelia and not lighting eggs at all? Okay, you're not on your own, Amelia. Well done, back in you come. In you come. Okay, so they're choices that you'd kind of make, wouldn't you? Okay, it gets a bit trickier now. Okay, so these are still choices, but the whole world is made up of choices, and there isn't a particular right or wrong, but what about this one? That was the wrong way. So, would you choose to tidy up your bedroom? You notice it was all your parents that laughed then. Or would you choose to hoover downstairs? You've got to choose one. You can't do the I don't know this time. Which one? Tidying up or hoovering? Tidying up or hoovering? 3, 2, 1, go. No. Oh, no, it's gone. Dead even split. Adults, which way? Would you prefer tidying up or hoovering? And just for my own personal reference, would you prefer that your children tidied up or did the hoovering?
Yeah.
If they could just do one. Ah, they've gone for tidying up. Okay, back you come. Whoops. Okay, so getting a bit more tricky now. You're going to have to think carefully. Okay, again, no particular right or wrong. And even if you know what the answer should be, you can still do what you genuinely would do yourself. Because this is where it gets a bit more tricky. Okay, so would you either listen when people are talking about other people and perhaps saying things that aren't the kindest, or would you walk the other way? Would you listen to what people are saying if they're saying things about someone else, or would you walk the other way? Well done for being honest. Love it. Thank you. And that is a choice. Back you come. You could see the cogs whirring. But adults, I've got the same question for you. If you were involved in a conversation where people were perhaps gossiping is the word that we would use, would you stay in that conversation? Or would you, I'm not going to ask for hands this time, or would you walk the other way? That's a choice that we have to make. And particularly as young people, that's a really, really tricky choice. Because yes, the answer's kind of a little bit obvious, but actually it's really difficult to do, isn't it? Okay, I've got another one. I think I've got one more. So or. You've got the idea now, they're getting more and more tricky as we go through, haven't you? Okay? So, would you, if you saw something unkind happening to someone else, so someone being hurt or someone being said mean things to, would you go, no, stop, that's not right, and like do something to stop it happening? Or would you walk the other way again? Okay, good. Give me some.
If someone was being hit by a car, I don't want to just jump into the car.
Great clarification.
Yeah.
If someone was being hit by a car, I would not expect you to do something. If someone was perhaps just pushing someone over or saying some unkind words,
yes,
on the plate.
I know, but if
so, which way are you going? You're going that way? Which way are you going? Well done. Not easy though, not easy, because again, you see the cogs whirring, because actually at that time that thing is happening, when someone is being unkind to someone else, it's really tempting to just go, that's not my business. And it's tricky as children, because some things we wouldn't want you to get involved in, particularly a car. Don't ever get involved in a car, okay? Yes, or that. But actually, if it's on the playground and the adults are there to help you on the playground, so clearly you try and use your adults to help you, but actually it's okay to stick up for your friends and say, no, that's not all right. But my question goes to you adults. The same, again, I'm not asking for hands. But can you think of a situation where something has been happening that's not right for whatever reason, and it's difficult as a believer in Christ to actually say, no, I don't believe that's right because I believe in Christ. And I personally find that challenging in a lot of situations. So, children, well done. Thank you. Give them a round of applause as they go and sit back down. Thank you. And the bit that struck me last week was in the next song that we're going to sing shortly, is that Christ made a choice. And he made a choice, and the word I took from last week was me, which sounds very self-centered. But actually, Christ, for me, all little old me, chose to die. Christ was on that cross, which is what we're going to sing about shortly. Christ was on the cross, and he died for me. So as we sing this next song, just think about the choice that Christ made for you as an individual, but also the choices that we then make in our lives and our world, trying to be more Christ-like, and how challenging in the modern day that can be. When we're all amongst friends and we're all amongst Christians, it's very easy to choose which side we should go. But actually, in the world that we live in today, it becomes increasingly more difficult to do. So please stand and join me if you can as we sing, You Chose the Cross. Thank you. Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what He wants and He will help you to go the right way. Don't trust in your own wisdom. Let's just spend the next couple of minutes with some music just quietly playing in the background. take your prayers to the Lord. Think about those people in our fellowship that are going through medical procedures, those that are in hospital, those that we know that are having a hard time for whatever reason at home. Pray for our broken world and all the things that are happening within it at the moment. And pray for each other. Those in our fellowship, those in our families, those in our towns, pray for each other. Just call out words if you wish, or just pray them in your own head, just quietly now. As our young people go out now, I pray that they trust in you and they know you, Lord. And in the difficult choices that life presents with us, whether it be chocolate or sweets, whether it be standing up for what's right and what's wrong. I pray, Lord, that each and every one of them knows you in their heart to be guided. Amen. Young people, if you'd like to go out, and we'll just hear our passage for this morning, which is John 14, verses 1 to 14, read by Dave. Before Martin comes and gives us our word this morning.
As he said, John 14, 1 to 14. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's 1082, and I believe it's going to be on the screen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
There are two passages of scripture that if you were to ask any minister, they would probably say these are the two passages that they preached on more than any other. And they've already come up on the screen. Great. Psalm 23 and John 14. Because we do funerals. And these are very popular passages for funerals, passages full of hope and promise and comfort and challenge. Today, of course, we don't have a funeral, and we will be focusing not on that first part of John 14, which finishes with Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, but we're going on to the second part, especially verses 12 to 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now that's the ESV translation behind me, and I've chosen that because it's got the truly, truly bit. And I do like the truly, truly bits. Rather than the very truly, I tell you. I prefer that emphasis of truly, truly, and its repetition. But here in these words of Jesus, we find food for our faith, we find encouragement for our difficult times, and we find a challenge to how we live out our personal faith and how we do church. And once again, we see in these verses that Jesus was very aware of what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. He was aware that his death was all part of God's great plan of salvation. And in these verses, he's trying to both comfort and encourage his disciples in the light of the fact that he would shortly be leaving them. And he wants them to see the process or the timeline that lies ahead. And all of it hangs on Jesus going back to be with the Father. It's only once Jesus has gone back to be with the Father that the Holy Spirit can come and fill the disciples with his presence and with his power. And it's only once the Spirit comes that the disciples will see the fulfillment of Jesus' promise here, that whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Bizarrely, Jesus leaving the disciples is good for them. Because once he's left and returned to the glory of heaven, they will know his presence and his power more personally and more intimately, but also more widespread than when he'd been with them through the coming of his Holy Spirit. So what is the food for our faith? What is our encouragement? And what is our challenge? Well, first of all, it's that God in his love does not leave us alone. First he gave Jesus to save us, and now he works through the Spirit to transform us, renewing us and making us more like Christ. And again, the reminder here is that becoming a Christian, giving your life to Jesus, is not the end of a journey, it's the beginning of a journey. Because once we've become a Christian, we are invited to make a choice to allow God to transform us from the inside out. Oops, too close to the microphone. To allow God to transform us from the inside out. He doesn't force that transformation, but he lays out very good reasons in Scripture why we should engage in that transformation. And clearly, here, we can discern that God is three, yet God is one, working in perfect harmony and unity to shape us into the people he created us to be. Now, there's mystery here. We don't understand this whole three-in-one stuff, and we try really hard to understand it, and we come up with illustrations like the three different states of water, ice, water and steam, or the three leaves on a three-leaf clover, and things like that. But ultimately, if we were to fully understand this mystery, we would be God. And we're not. And the very godness of God demands some mystery. The whole of the Old Testament talks about him being unknowable, unfathomable, unapproachable even in his holiness. And what Jesus does is he comes and he removes some of the mystery, and he tells us if we see him, we see the Father. He says that in these verses, to know that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. And so Jesus removes some of that mystery, but there is still plenty of mystery around. And we touched on this recently, didn't we? The mysterious Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the love of God, the power of God in us to live Jesus' way, the presence of God to help us understand what is going on. So it's okay not to fully understand this, because it is a mystery. And the mystery, rather than putting us into confusion or saying, I don't want to follow this or whatever, should lead us to worship. Because where there is mystery, where there is something about God that we can't fathom, we know that it's true because we've experienced it, or because Jesus has said it's true, and Jesus always spoke truth. And so we come to worship and to trust. So like I said, this is food for our faith. It's helping us understand a bit more about the nature of God, about who Jesus is, and about what it means to be a Christian. But there's more than that here. Faith, belief in Christ, It's about much more than simply getting our ticket to heaven. It's about living out our lives differently. Getting away from the old way that we lived. Because we've received that ticket. Let's take the illustration a bit further. You buy a ticket, what do you then do with that ticket? You get on the train. It'd be a bit of waste of your money otherwise, wouldn't it? And hopefully you get on the right train. And that train takes you to your destination, and it changes your location, and you are somewhere different when you get off the train than when you got on. And the ticket that we get when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour entitles us access to heaven, to the new heaven and the new earth, and all that God promises, but it also entitles us now to enjoy the journey of life with Jesus, not just at our side, but in our hearts, through the power of His Holy Spirit. It's about allowing Him to change us from our old selfish selves into people who reflect His likeness to those around us. And again, that's a choice. He doesn't force us to do that, but He says, if you love Me, you will obey My commands. He invites us to make those choices, to follow the way that He leads. And that couldn't fully happen while Jesus was present on the earth. It was too limiting for Him. Okay? Just think about your own physical body. How many different places can your physical body be at once? One. Jesus was exactly the same in that aspect. He was limited to the geographical place and time that He had come into to share the good news at the right time for all people. But nothing could, He couldn't go wider unless He was no longer in that body, so that His Spirit could come. And in His Spirit, we know that He is everywhere. He's within us if we're Christians, but He's also around us everywhere in this world. So after the cross and the resurrection and His exaltation to the Father's side, there was no limit on Jesus. And so He freely sends His Spirit, another counsellor, to make it possible for us to live the Christian life. And I found too many good quotes about this week that I really want to share with you. This is the first one. It says, the Holy Spirit is His own breath, Jesus' own breath, His own inner life, Jesus' own inner life, who comes to give God's people the strength and energy to do what they have to do, to live for God and witness to His love in the world. So you're walking down the street, you see someone pushing somebody else around, or abusing them, or someone comes up and says, oh, have you heard this about so-and-so? Holy Spirit gives us the strength to say, no, I don't want to hear that gossip. It's not right to gossip. You shouldn't be gossiping either. Or He gives us the strength to go and be a peacemaker in that situation where someone is hurting somebody else. Or He gives us the strength to speak out a word of truth or correction when somebody is speaking lies about something. And so many other things. But I just love that the Holy Spirit is Jesus' own breath, His own inner life, who comes into us to give us the strength and energy to do what we have to do. Then the second one. The Holy Spirit is the life breath of the exalted Jesus, who makes the victory of Jesus available for the people of God in history. The Holy Spirit is the life breath of the exalted Jesus. Out of the prayer meeting before the service, we were talking about not fixing our eyes on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen, lifting our eyes to the heavenlies and seeing Jesus exalted in glory and majesty and power because of the sacrifice He made for us, because He chose the cross, because that was the way for Him to be exalted. And the exalted Jesus is sitting there in heaven, in power, sending His Spirit to us to enable us to be his hands, his feet, his voice, his love. Oh, that's pretty cool. Anybody else agree with that? Pretty cool. Maybe he deserves raising a hallelujah or something. Not just in a song. So because Jesus has been exalted, those of us who follow him are blessed with the presence of his Spirit in our lives. Now that is both an encouragement and it's a challenge. We often love to receive the encouragement, don't we? Oh, that's great. Jesus is living in me by his Spirit. That's fantastic. That makes me feel so good and so loved and everything else. And I really enjoy the encouragement. But there is a challenge there as well. To know we can do what Jesus did. Wow. We can do what Jesus did. Wow. To know that we can do what Jesus did. It provokes both responses, doesn't it? Do. Here's a short list. He declared that the kingdom of God is near. He preached about God's love. He demonstrated the power of God's love through miracles and healing, casting out demons, bringing people back from the dead. He challenged corrupt and oppressive rulers and ruling systems. He showed authority over the weather. He walked on water. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish into a feast for thousands and proclaim forgiveness on repentant sinners. And if we take Jesus seriously in his word, we can do that too. Maybe there should be a third response there, because we're mainly English, aren't we? You can see why it's wow and new earth, can't you? That's really, really exciting. It's also quite scary. But if we take Jesus seriously, if we take Jesus at his word, we can do this too. Not only that, in fact, but he says we'll do even greater things. What response does that bring? Do even greater things than Jesus did. I don't think that means in terms of more spectacular miracles. I don't think you can beat calming a storm and walking on water for a start. But in terms of more widespread impact, we are multiplied and we are filled with the Spirit in order to do the work that Jesus did. And so it follows that with his followers doing what he did, his followers will reach greater numbers than he did when he was walking on earth. So reaching more people with the gospel, seeing more conversions and miracles that point to the truth of who he is. Because the miracles, they don't save you in themselves. The miracles, we looked at this a few weeks ago as well, they point to the one who is making the miracle happen, to reveal the nature of the one who is the miracle maker. Just like the church in Acts, they preached the gospel boldly. They prayed with faith and courage. They healed the sick. They cast out demons. And thousands came to faith because they were doing what Jesus did. Now, I've been a pastor for nearly 30 years now, and I hear again and again and again, wouldn't it be great if today's church was like the church in Acts? Well, yes and no. Yes, because it would be great to see these miracles, it would be great to be seeing life change like this. But don't forget, they were heavily persecuted as well. There's another wham and a whir, isn't it? Yeah, we want the good stuff, but please don't persecute us. But the church in Acts took Jesus at his word, and they carried on his ministry. We can do this too. Because we are inhabited by the Holy Spirit who carries on the ministry of Jesus in us and through us. In other words, to be Jesus to the people around us, to show the reality and authenticity of our faith, that what we do is not just come and have a lecture on a Sunday and sing some songs and go home again, but we're having an encounter with the living God through his Holy Spirit. And that's the wow bit. That is the wow bit. Now here's the allure bit. You ready for this? We don't do it. When was the last time we saw a miracle? When was the last time we were fully aware of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us in someone else's life? I'm not saying this to make anybody feel guilty. It's just a statement of the fact that we do not see this happening pretty much in our nation today, with some exceptions. So that begs the really serious question of why. Why don't we see it? Is it a question of belief? And there's a story in the New Testament where Jesus went to a town and he couldn't perform miracles there because of the unbelief of the people. But then he also says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, fall into the sea, and it will fall into the sea. Do we actually believe that it's still possible for God to work miracles in our lives, in us and through us today? Or do we think, oh, that was just for the first generation, get the church established, now we've got our nice structures and our orders and everybody knows what they've got to do, we just carry on? I keep coming back to this, but if miracles are signs and evidence of the reality of the kingdom of God, shouldn't we be seeing more of them, not less of them? Shouldn't we be sharing testimonies of God speaking into our hearts, of God healing us from physical ailments, of spiritual encounter? I wonder if we don't because we don't like being disturbed. We don't like not feeling in control. We're human beings, so we like unpredictability, don't we? And we've said many times we don't like religion in this place, but we talk about the relationship. But the truth is, sometimes we do like religion, because religion, we know what's going to happen. We've got our set patterns. We've got it here. We sing three or four songs, we stop, we might give notices, we sing another couple of songs. If Steve's leaving, we'll have a children's talk. Space for God to say anything or for us to choose to engage with him. You see, here's the logic of this passage, and I hope it makes sense to you, and I hope the diagram that I've put up isn't too confusing either. I thought this is a really good diagram, and I thought a little bit complicated, but bear with me. If it's true that God's power, if it's true that God's power, the Holy Spirit, is in Jesus, which we believe he is, and if the disciple is invited to know Jesus and receive life from him, which we are, then the disciple will also share in God's power. Because in this passage, Jesus says that he is one with the Father and he wants us to become one with him. And the logic is that we are all connected to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are all connected to each other. We're all connected to them. So the power of God displayed in Jesus is available to everybody who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. Not those that we recognise as being specially anointed, you know, those really holy Christians who go around in this kind of glow and you just want to be near them and you want to receive the anointing and the blessing off of them. Not just those people. Not just pastors or elders or deacons or youth workers or family workers or whatever kind of workers we might have in our church, but for each and every one of us, the promise is the same. And the promise brings a wow and an ooh, if we're honest. And we need to be honest. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with God as well. It's like, God, this sounds really exciting, but, you know, I'm a little bit unsure about it. Maybe a little bit like that father who said, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Came across another quote, and we'll put it up there, but I've got it here, which is a real ooh. If we have no experience of the Spirit in our own lives, we do not have a complete Christian experience, and we will not do the things Jesus did. Let me qualify that. It's not saying that we have no experience of falling down, laughing, shaking, crying, making animal noises, doing whatever. That's not what he's talking about, because the experience of the Spirit is internal. Sometimes there are outward manifestations, which can be quite spectacular. I've seen someone thrown from one side of a room to the other, under the power of the Holy Spirit. That was a bit the word. For those of us watching, I don't know what was like for the person that it happened to. She broke a chair. Didn't feel a thing. Personally, I felt myself lifted up and laid down gently, like a parent would with a child. And I have a witness to that one. I've been married to her for nearly 40 years. I've also had people standing in front of me coming for prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and absolutely nothing outwardly happened to them at all. But within a week, each one came back to me and said they really felt God at work in their lives. Do we get too caught up with the dramatic, what I call the fizzy bit on top, like the froth in your Coca-Cola, other fizzy drinks are available, that we miss out on what's going on underneath, the real thing that's going on? A genuine experience of the Spirit will bear fruit in our lives. And what fruits? Well, funnily enough, it would be the fruits of the Spirit. Love, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all that stuff. But it makes us more like Jesus. And it actually makes us more attractive to others, as Jesus was so attractive to others. And others will want to know what it is that's different about us. God knows each of us. Psalm 139 talks about the way he knits us together in our mother's womb, about how he knows us from before we were born. Every day of our lives is written in his book, Before One of Them Comes to Be. He knows what we need. An encounter with the Spirit is not going to have the same
physical effect on one person as it is on another. And the important thing is not what happens physically, although sometimes that can be done, or it can be scary, depending. It's the fruit that comes from that. So the challenge is to consciously recognise we have the Holy Spirit within us, and to allow Him to work in us, to lead us, to guide us, to empower us and transform us, so that we can see the truth of Jesus' words in these verses. I'm not quite sure why my slides ended up the wrong way around, but there we go. Can we take Jesus at His word? Can we open ourselves up to the presence of His Spirit, His life breath in us? Do we even come on a Sunday or to our midweek groups expecting to meet with Him, to be filled by Him, so that we can continue His ministry in the world? What about in the week, in our day-to-day lives? There's another choice that we have to make, and that is the choice to take the risk of allowing the Spirit to work in us and through us. And there's a wonderful promise right at the end: you may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. What Jesus means there is, it's not a magic formula that if you say a prayer and then put in Jesus' name on the end, it will happen. What it means is, if you say anything, if you ask anything according to my will, or my character, or my purposes, I will do it. So when we pray, sometimes we don't get a yes because they're not actually according to God's will, character, or purpose. They're not good for us. Even if you do pray that old prayer, Lord, won't you bind me in the Satan's bands, it may not actually be good for you. BMWs are much better. I want to give us an opportunity just to reflect on some of what we've said this morning, and said in the talk, but we don't often give God a chance to whisper to us, to speak to us in that way. And the promise is twofold, threefold. One, we will do what Jesus has been doing. Yes, Lord, I'd love to be able to do what you were doing. I'd love to see that evidence in my life and the life of my church. Two, that we will do even greater things. Because the idea is that we go out, and wherever we go, we demonstrate that love and that presence of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. When we're at work, when we're driving in our cars, when we're queuing up in Asda behind the old age pensioner who always takes forever to take the coins out of their purse. Actually, it's not always an old age pensioner, but they are the main ones. Or that person cuts us up when we're driving down London Road, or we go over yet another pothole. How do we demonstrate the character and the power and the grace of Jesus in those moments? So we're going to be quiet for a moment. I'll lead us in prayer and leave it quiet, and then we'll sing our final song in a few minutes' time. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this incredible promise that we can do what you did. In fact, that we can do greater things when we do them in your name. And Lord, we do confess that part of us goes, wow, at that, and part of us goes, ooh, at that. Lord, help us to have the courage to explore the wow and not be held back by the ooh. Help us choose to take you at your word and to allow your word and your spirit to transform us, that we may see people healed, that we may see your power demonstrated, pointing others to you, that we may know the fear and the uprising of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, enabling us to be transformed into the likeness of you, our Saviour. Take away our fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are perfect love. Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Speak to us. Deep in our souls. Challenge us where we need to change. Strengthen us where we're weak. That we may do the things Jesus did. Come, Holy Spirit. Team will be here at the front. Love to help you with that. Or if you come with someone who you know and trust as a Christian, just turn to our master to pray with you. Or if you want to talk any of that through, happy to do that as well. But we need more of his spirit, we need more of his power in our lives to be. Song about that again. It's a bit of a louder song, it's not really a reflective one. So it's a song that cries out for the need that we have. I think it's written by William Booth. So it's a good old beat. And just ask God to send the fire. So if you're able to, please stand. If you'd like to just hold your hands out to receive what we're singing this, feel free to do that. But if then, prayer will be available at the end. Thank you.
fire of your love, of your presence, of your spirit, that we may do what Jesus did. That we might make a difference in our places of work, rest and play. That we may see and know that you are alive and at work in us and through us. So would you make our weak hearts strong? Would you deepen our faith and our trust in you? And may we go from this place committed and determined to live for you and to see you at work wherever you lead us to go. Would you bless us with the presence of your Spirit, that we may be blessings to others, that we might share the good news of Jesus and build his kingdom. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.